Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Coming up in here on a Wednesday, on a hump day, feeling pretty good. A lot to do. We've got game 3 tonight in the NBA Finals. Return of Fade Brad. See if he can get back to 10 games over 500. That will be something we're excited about tonight, because I tell you what, my hopes are dimming. They're dimming. Maybe what the hell he can kind of bring them back, but my hopes are dimming that this is going to be a competitive series. We shall see. Okay, see, 5.5-point favorites. You'll be able to hear it all live right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. All starts at 7 o'clock. Tip-off. Well, essentially pregame, then tip-off. Mm-hmm. But yes, right here live on 92.9 FM ESPN. A lot going on, including the Knicks getting turned down again in terms of coaching permission. Guys, sitting head coaches, they're looking to interview. They would turn down for the third time. Shams all over it. And John has made me aware of an AAC preseason football poll, right, that maybe not as high on Memphis as some others have been going into this upcoming season, 2025. So interested to talk about that. We just had Frank Bonner on from Daily Memphian, covers Tiger football for them so well yesterday. We're talking a lot about expectations, where we should be, because in a matter of weeks, we'll be out on the football field, John.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about it.
Me too.
Big year for, you know.
You know what I was doing today? I was studying Boise State's schedule.
Okay, you're in that playoff mode.
You know who they got out of conference? Because that's the stuff that matters.
Oregon?
Notre Dame.
Okay. Now, Boise expects to be pretty good this year, but they don't have Ashton Gent anymore.
They're going to South Bend, too.
Yeah, they'll be big underdogs.
Remember how we were comparing their Oregon game to our Florida State game last year?
That's right, that's right.
And we got to do that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
In years that you think that, hey, we're the American champ.
Yep.
You know, Mountain West champ, you know, those two teams going to be up for that playoff spot.
Remember, you only got 2 years left with this, right?
Two?
Guaranteed.
For now?
Guaranteed. Then it becomes, I mean, we assume that.
They seem like they're keeping the one spot
we
in
believe
all of the
that,
projections so far.
But you know how
some,
this goes.
At some point, the big boy's just going to break off from the whole
That's
thing.
That's right. That's exactly
happen.
Right.
That's what's going to happen.
They already kind of, what are they calling it? Like the College Sports Council or something? Mm-hmm. Commission? You're Brian Seely. Your man there, you know. So
one of the most powerful men now in college athletics.
Yeah, that's the concern, is that, all right, yeah, the playoff exists, but it's not the teams that you would want to play against.
Will we beat Arkansas
this year?
Yes.
No.
Will we look better in losing to Arkansas than they will in losing to Notre Dame?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Who's the Notre Dame quarterback? There's been a lot of change at quarterback in the
it's hard to keep up now.
Okay, so none of these guys seem great. It's a quarterback competition. CJ Carr and Kenny Minchie.
Yeah, that's why I didn't know.
So I've never heard of either of those guys. So maybe not. Maybe Boise will be a little bit more alive in that game than I thought.
Well, again, got to go to South Bend, whereas you have the benefit of Arkansas
that's right.
here.
You get it here. You get it here, yep.
Yes, yep. Yes.
But we know what.
You got to win your conference.
Right. Got to do that.
To be in this convo.
That's right.
And you were picked first last year. That's why we could talk about
it. You have to be a conference champion. So if you're not a conference champion, you need not apply.
That's right.
Need not apply. So, you know, regardless of what you do against Arkansas, it doesn't even matter if you can't beat.
Tell me about it. If Jeff Traylor can derail you.
You know, Tulane. So
Traylor!
But they did beat Tulane last year. So who knows? Lots to be excited about potentially. We'll get into that. We'll talk about Memphis football here in just a little bit. Bobby Marks is going to join us. From ESPN. He will join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about the game three of the finals tonight, get his thoughts on Jaren Jackson Jr. Bobby Marks has 301,000 followers on X, just so you know. He's big time.
That's very impressive.
Big time guy. So we will talk to Bobby Marks about all of that, Jaren Jackson's future, the Grizzlies, finals tonight, Kevin Durant, all that and more with Bobby Marks at 11:25. Then at 1:25, you know him, you love him. He's the great Norton Hurd the Fourth.
Hey.
Team Thad, program director and coach. And we will get his thoughts on all the happenings in Memphis basketball. So a lot to get to on the show today, but let's do a little thing that we call over-under.
All right, let's start with the AAC. Teams that can actually win the AAC as we look forward to football. 5.5.
It's about to be football season, Brett.
Football time on 92.9.
Love. So
you
love.
You think it's Cardinals baseball season. You didn't know it's already it's college football.
I've had to look away from the Cardinals. They're having a tough series with the Blue Jays currently.
They're going through a little bit of a rut.
A lull. The team at the top of that division is not having a lull, gentlemen.
And who would that be?
That would be the Cubs.
Say my name. Say my name.
The stupid-ass Cubs.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow.
They hate it.
It's hard.
It bubbles under the surface.
They're
constantly.
Really good. Yep.
Let's stick to our topic.
Football.
We wanted to hit that just to see.
You guys,
we see it continues to bubble.
Yesterday, y'all laid out the groundwork for this season, this crappy-ass schedule that they've handed to Ryan Silverledge, that if he doesn't figure it out.
What? Wait a minute. Now, was that what? You called him Silverledge.
He's on the ledge. We need to win, and we need to win now.
Wow.
I don't know if Silverledge sticks.
Trying to give some identifiers for how we personify this season.
He's on the ledge.
I would have gone like silver seat. You know?
Silver seat. Okay, like a hot seat.
Like so, Ryan Silver seat. You
yeah.
Know? So it's like you know, silver can get hot. I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is interesting because again, after 21 wins the last 2 years, is the seat anything?
It ain't hot. You're right.
No, but
what am
I
doing?
Is it silver? Is it hot?
It's
is
on
it,
demand.
It's just. It's a
it
good
bubbling?
Seat.
It's on demand. It's climate controlled, is what I would say.
It's got that cooler.
It could be turned up at any moment. I think.
I like that.
So right now it's cool.
Okay.
Because that seat should be in demand. You're on demand.
Mm.
That seat should
right.
be in demand.
That's
we
right.
We can talk about all the reasons why it should be in
yes.
demand.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah, I like where we're going.
But yes, no. 5.5.
5.5 wins.
Teams that can win.
Or yeah, for the
AAC. The
Athlon's
reason why.
Got six.
The reason why we bring that up is, yes, Athlon Sports, who is a, you know, that's where our man Mitch Light used to be before he left for the Athletic.
You were there at one point.
I wrote a couple of features. I had a couple of regional cover stories for Athlon. Yep. I was actually reading it the other day. When Penny got hired, I wrote a feature about that. And if you'd have told me back then in 2018, man, you know, well, where are you going to be in 7 years? I'd have said, I'm going to be a front office insider for ESPN.
Running stuff.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, I've stalled out here. But, you know, we push forward. We continue. But six teams is who the Athlon sports folks believe can win. Tulane, they believe, can win. Navy, they believe can win. South Florida, they believe, can win. UTSA, they believe, can win. Army, they believe, can win. And then Memphis. They believe can win.
So you're one of the six.
You're one of the six here, but you're six.
Eyebrow raiser to see UTSA in there for me.
Yes.
You?
Yes, but I'm not super familiar with what they did in the portal, to be honest. You know, I guess they're bringing back, you know, McCown. They're bringing back the quarterback.
The quarterback and their offense is what's going to be back. Their defense is what they've got to replace. But with McCown, who threw for 3,525 touchdowns last year. In the way they played down the stretch, remember beating Memphis was part of that. They're pretty high on Traylor's offense.
It's
gonna be can you stop us? And we've seen them. We've seen them score on you.
Yeah.
You know, in one play. I mean, that's we've seen them at their most explosive. So
yep.
You know, you can't count them out. I had not seen anything that's got them as capable of winning it, and I wouldn't have them in my top three. But
yeah.
That's the thing. But you know, you look at the way that they rallied last year. What was it? Started 2-4, rallied with 5 victories over the final 7, went 5-2 over the last 7. And Memphis was part, beating Memphis was part of that.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
No, they were the surprise to me. They've got them fourth.
Yeah.
Athlon does. They've got them fourth.
But then when it comes to Memphis, you know, they talk about the fact that Silverfield has, the Tigers are 115 in returning production.
Yes, ESPN's returning production metric, yes.
So, you know, that's...
We knew that, though.
Yes.
I mean, you're essentially replacing your whole defense in
that's
a lot
right.
of ways.
And your offense.
And your offense.
Yeah.
Certainly the quarterback, DeWosier,
yep.
You know, he was... You're familiar with him, but your receiving core, you know, in a lot of ways, brand new. So they're you are. I mean, you're replacing a lot more.
But, you know, one thing that's probably not baked into that is our guy Sutton Smith at running back.
If he can stay healthy.
You know, he didn't play at all really last year. So that would have been some production that you would have had probably coming back, but it's not because of the injury. So I think it could be a lot better than the 115 mark. But, yeah, I mean, Memphis should absolutely be a team that wins it because they spend the most money, bottom line. You know, Navy and Army, who are ahead of Memphis in this list, don't even have any NIL. They can't spend NIL. And again, we go
Jarvis.
Over this. Jarvis will tell us that they do, but they don't have NIL money. It's very – and they will not be sharing any revenue, I assume.
Jarvis would have you believe that Horvath is making $8 million.
Right. Right.
From the government.
I don't think he is making
I'm kidding. I'm hoping Jarvis is – he understands. I'm
yeah. Especially with the like, with Doge. If he's making $8 million,
those
that
guys
got cut by Elon.
They deserve some money, the commitment they've made, but we can't act like they're giving them millions through these government PACs.
Yeah, South Florida makes sense because you're bringing back everything. But, you know, I would say they're a weird team, you know. They did win that bowl game in dramatic fashion. But the quarterback's always hurt, and I'm not sure, like, what's going on there. So I get it, but I'm not, like, fully buying it. You know, Tulane, okay, they've been consistent, but you're having to replace Mensa. And, you know, you brought in three guys. I don't know how good any of them are.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I do. I think it's mostly about each one of these teams has flaws, right? Mm-hmm. Each one of these teams has some – they have talent, but they have flaws. And so that's why they like Athlon's not keen on saying, all right, this league is going to be won by X, Y, and Z, which, again, is another reason why it should be won by Memphis.
I just think with the three transfers he's got, one of them's from Illinois, by the way, the quarterbacks for maybe that, but I have no idea the Iowa kid could end up winning a job. Tulane is bringing in a level of player now. The transfer they got from Louisville to replace their running back, Maurice Turner. I mean, the quality of what they're bringing in, it's one of the reasons you pencil them in the top every year. They've been a top three defense the last 3 years because, again, yes, you lose something, but it's what you're bringing in. This is where Memphis should be.
Absolutely.
Basically. And remember, what is this, second year for Sumrall? And, again, second year for him, new quarterback, and the expectation is the same. This is it, with what they spend, with what you spend, this is where you should be. And listen, you know, I know they've got Memphis sixth here, but they've got you as one of the six teams that can win it. I would be a little lower here on the number. You know, I think Navy is a real one. I think Tulane's probably a real one. I trust the level of player. I trust the culture they've got even through the different head coaches now. They'd probably be in there. I'd probably have Army UTSA a little down. And frankly, I think Memphis should be in there, despite the fact that they've got the 20 turnovers, because like I'm saying, Memphis, Brad, John, they should be Tulane.
Yeah.
The quality of player you're getting in now, you just heard Bonner come on yesterday, covers it for the Daily Memphis and the Tiger, and rave about Ryan Silverfield, what he's done in the portal and in recruiting. It's time to turn that into consistency at the top of this league. So in a year where, no, you're not going to be picked first like you were last year, I think you should still have first, second place conference title game aspirations because that is how you invest in this program. So yeah. I'm going lower on number of teams that can win it than Athlon had, which is six here. And I think Memphis should be one of them. But I'd go, you know, 3.5, 4.
Yeah, I don't think
six is a little high.
Yeah, I don't
believe UTSA is replacing everything on defense. Remember, they don't have NIL in a way that Memphis and Tulane have NIL.
Yep.
So replacing an entire defense for Jeff Traylor going to be tough to do.
I also don't think Navy can win it because, you know.
You don't think Navy can win
it? I don't because what ultimately ends up happening is that by the end of the year,
they
got to
come here, though.
They got to come here. And by the end of the year, you know, the option, like, you're just – they get beat up.
Oh, that is true.
They lost to Rice last year.
They did.
You know.
And they got beat up.
I think it can be really good at the beginning of the year when everybody's healthy and all that. But I just think it takes the physical toll, all that running.
And they're replacing a few guys up front, too, on that offensive line to your point. So.
Yeah, so I think, you know, Memphis, Tulane.
You're not buying the South Florida?
No.
Byron Brown?
I think it really is just going to come down to those two. I think it's just coming down to Memphis, Tulane. I mean, if you want to say outside shot, one of Navy or Army, that's fine. Like, I'll allow it. South Florida, I don't think is serious. UTSA, like you talked about the defense, like they're not going to be able to stop anybody. So I think it's three at most. It'll be one of those three, like Navy slash Army, one of those, Memphis or Tulane. I think, you know, I guess that technically means four. So I'll go four.
Okay.
And what were you at?
I'm going four.
Yeah. I think four is the answer. Six is too many.
A side note, but on another Athlon ranking that deals in the AAC, they've got Ryan Silverfield pegged as the fifth best coach in the conference. One, two, three, four.
He's ranked fifth?
Fifth, BC.
So he's behind. He's behind Navy and Army.
Ryan Silverledge, as you called him.
On the ledge.
Ryan Silverseat.
Is he behind my guy at Navy?
He is behind our guy. Well,
Newberry.
Wait a minute. Is he behind that?
No. Ryan Newberry?
He's behind the Temple coach, Casey Keeler.
Mm.
Weirdly.
Wow. What?
Jeff Traylor is number three. Y'all know
Now, Casey Keeler did a great job at Sam Houston State. I'll give him that.
Munkin is number two.
Yep.
Army.
And then Sumrall is one. Mm-hmm. Sumrall came from the SEC, basically, and is looking to turn this into a, you know, any,
the Tulane
whether
guy?
It's this year. Yeah. Whether it's this year
I mean,
or
I
next
think an
year,
argument can be made that Newberry's ahead of him because Newberry, you know, it took over last year or 2 years ago for Navy. And
They got Newberry eighth.
He went from 5-7 to 10-3. In 1 year, and they won the bowl game against Oklahoma. So I think
they got him beneath Golish and beneath Tim Albin, Charlotte.
Come on, man.
So he hasn't coached a game yet, right? He's new, Charlotte.
Yeah, I've never heard of that dude.
Because they got rid of the guy from Michigan that went there. You know,
they got Charlotte's a job with significant potential, and the program hopes Albin is the right coach to get things moving in the right direction. 49ers are 37-78. Well, we know that, but Albin's arrival after a strong 4-year run at Ohio provides optimism. Oklahoma native went 33-19 with the Bobcats, won the 24 MAC title. His ability to get the most out of the roster and quickly reload despite significant. This is one of those teams, all those teams that were firing their coaches, and we said the AAC had to do this.
I mean, if you look at what Albin did at Ohio, three straight 10-win years.
He just won the MAC title, 24.
It could be dangerous.
He just won the title.
And then
you went out and got him. Good move.
But, you know,
but to have him in here that high above Newberry, I thought it definitely shouldn't be above Newberry.
Well, and the issue is, like, you're coming over from, you're coming over from the MAC. Like, the MAC is like a goofy funhouse cartoon football. Like,
it's D2-ish.
I mean, it feels very rare that MAC coaches leave that league and go on to be great.
I guess the dude from Buffalo who went to Kansas, is it Leipold did it,
I guess? Okay, yeah, Leipold's great.
Right, but it doesn't I think you're right. I think he's one of one.
Yeah, no, I mean, Leipold is a fantastic example. Was he really at Buffalo?
Yeah, he was at Buffalo. He was a D2 guy at Whitewater, and then he went to Buffalo, and then he went to Kansas.
Yeah, he was at Buffalo. Good call. Really good call off the top of your head. Yeah, Leipold is fantastic. I mean, he's got Kansas at, like, level I've never seen.
Yeah, that's wild, man.
Knew they were capable of having.
Yep.
I mean, I remember when Les Miles went there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got them looking better than that now. You know,
Michael can coach.
They went 5-7 last year. You know, they went 6-7 2 years ago, 2-10 3 years ago. So maybe our expectations for Kansas are just so low that literally if you win five games there, we're like, that guy's a hell of a coach.
That's fair.
But no, I do. I think he's a good one. But, like, if he's your best.
Right. That's as good as you got.
You know?
No.
I mean, I could make a case that Jeff Traylor's number one with what he's
got.
This man, 46-20, they are under Traylor. How? With no NIL.
Yeah.
Or at least 1/6 of Memphis' budget, whatever he said that it was. 2 years of double-digit victories. They're 31-8 in league play, counting stints in CUSA and the American Athletic Conference since his debut in 20.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude—he gets more done with less every year.
Who is UTSA's athletic director? Because he's doing a hell of a job, if you think about it. Baseball.
It's also Jeff Traylor, and he also is a history professor there on campus.
Facts.
No, I made that up. But
like UTSA,
at some point, somebody with some money is going to come get him.
Yeah.
I guess you're just waiting on him to win another conference championship before somebody does it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd love to have him.
Jason,
don't shoot me, Nick Saban. Okay, he coached at Toledo 1 year in 1990.
Well,
it doesn't count.
That's
it
an
doesn't
aberration.
Count. Urban Meyer don't count either. I'm talking about modern coaches.
Modern,
like guys you know who coach in the modern MAC.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's all I'm saying.
To Jason's point about this roster that the Tigers have assembled and the talent, Memphis is sending out press releases as propaganda, trying to sell tickets. You know, you got Arkansas.
It's not propaganda.
It's not propaganda. It's real.
It's marketing, Brad.
They have great marketing.
Number one on the 901.
Number one. Seven Tigers. This Phil Steele book came out, too. You know, his summer guide.
His Bible.
So they've got first team designates, an O lineman, Chris Adams, a D line, William Whitlow, and their line should be great. A defensive back, Amarion Cooper, Travis Burke. They've got two, an outside linebacker. Apparently their kicker is amazing. He's a first teamer. And then Everett, one of the linebackers, new linebackers, Sam Brumfield's listed. So they have like dudes, seven of them in Phil Steele's book are listed for preseason. Let's go to tonight's game on 92.9. As you guys said, they got the pregame right after Gabe's show at 7. We'll have the tip at 7:30 from the Pacers land. What are we calling it, John? It's
They're the yes sirs.
The yes sirs. Yeah. So yes sirs tonight. Let me pull up the list here for the over under. Tyrese Halliburton has to get out of his shell because he was not doing so well in game two. 17.5 points over under for Tyrese tonight.
Man, that's low. That's the real number, huh?
That is a low number.
He was 16.5 for game two. Went over by a half.
Well, I guess in game one, they all scored in the teens. They had like six or seven dudes all scoring about 15, 16, 17 points.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's where they're coming from there.
Yeah, I know he only, 18 for the regular season. I know this is not a guy that averaged 30.
Right.
Feels low in a game that we've said he's got to be more aggressive in.
Yeah, everybody is sort of, I think that's kind of being priced in a little bit, right, that they expect a better effort from Halliburton. But I would just say that I don't know that he's going to be able to have that success against this Thunder defense. So I'm taking the under on him. I just am. Now maybe he gets back home and he's but he actually I think the numbers are he shoots worse at home than he does on the road these playoffs.
I wouldn't doubt that.
So I don't think like going back home will be some panacea event for him. I just think the Thunder have done a great job on him defensively. They'll continue to throw length at him, continue to throw Dort's physicality at him. So I'm going to take the under on him. I'm going to take under 17.5.
They're 32-4 when he scores 20+. I'm sure he's been hearing that a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
I say he gets over just, but it's messy in trying to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's here. He's Carlisle's even telling him, dude, you got to be more aggressive if you're going to win this series. And I'm sure. And so my thing is that's not him. To John's point, OKC is doing a good job on him. I'm going to go just that he goes over here, but in an inefficient effort. And an inefficient effort to be more aggressive that he goes over.
Are you fascinated at all by his voice changing?
What's up?
Like, no. Have you seen that?
What's going on?
No, his voice will change mid-answer.
Huh.
Like I'm not even talking about like answer to answer, or interview to interview. He will sentence to sentence, his voice will change. It's very
interesting.
It's very odd.
Cat, I feel like we've done this with Cat before too.
Yeah.
Even in the same answer, we've done this with Cat.
And Kyrie
well.
Told y'all to stop making fun of him last night.
Stop making fun of Cat?
Yep.
Huh.
Kyrie got on Twitch last night and said y'all got to stop making fun of my brother. It was a very serious.
When he hugged Beasley the way he did after that one-on-one, that's when I backed off and I gave Beasley the proper reverence and respect.
That's right.
Kyrie did.
That's right. And so now that he says this,
he's kind of like Lionel to me. If Kyrie came on here, he'd tell me.
Don't say another word.
And I would probably, maybe at this point, out of my respect for how much he's grown as a leader. Because remember, a few years ago, we were and rightly criticizing him for saying things as a leader, but not following up in action.
Yep.
And he has grown into a great leader.
Yes.
I think there's been great growth. And Kyrie would tell you that, I think, over the last few years. So I'm a fan. Of his, and yes, if he's saying don't make fun of Cat, I say we join Kyrie in his quest.
Yeah.
How can we make fun of Cat here in Memphis when we got Jaren Jackson Jr.?
Well,
haven't we kind of brought that up? Haven't we tried we've been squaring that here on the show at least?
So what,
and being honest about that?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Okay.
That's why I went on my soapbox about making fun of Cat.
Oh, Jaren's way cooler than Cat, if I'm going to defend.
Way cooler? He's
cooler.
Cooler? Yeah,
he's cooler.
Yeah, he's cooler.
Yeah.
Is that what you're looking for? Cool?
I thought you were making fun of Cat because
cool
he's like,
locked
kinda
down by Alex Caruso.
I know.
What? Cool got bodied. Cool didn't want to go inside and take Caruso
basketball.
Inside.
We make fun of Cat off the court, I was just saying. I think on the court, we got to figure that out.
I'm just saying. Can you make fun of Cat for what he does?
No. He backs it up.
Yeah,
even with a broken finger.
What Kyrie said was, and again, it was a very serious
second
thing.
Second league rebounder.
He said, y'all don't understand his upbringing because he grew up in Jersey, which is a super small state, and he's Dominican, he's black, he's all these things, and he's trying to fit in, and he's trying to, in a We can play the clip later, but that was kind of where he was coming from. With like, he's got all these different cultures that he's a part of, and he's trying to be all things, all people, basically. And don't judge Cat. And that's what I tell people all the time. You know, I'm Irish. I'm Scottish. You know,
that's it.
All mixes up white.
I mean, I have a lot of different cultures that I'm a part of.
So you're trying to rep all of them at once, and it makes it hard?
Yeah, like sometimes I feel like I'm the vampire from Sinners. And then sometimes I feel like, you know, I want to sing Garth Brooks. You know, so it's like, it's very difficult for me.
We've seen all sides, Jason.
You know, it's very difficult for me. Sometimes I want to freestyle, you know, on the show. But I don't, you know, I got to be honest with myself. And that's what's difficult.
I can see you sitting on that log with that banjo wanting to come in. You want to come in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to invite me in, man.
We have to invite you in.
You got to invite me into the house. Mm-hmm. Would you invite me in?
I hadn't thought about you as that man. Yeah. But it's interesting. It really is.
Those are your Arkansas roots we're speaking of, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of difference between Ireland and Arkansas when you
Scottish, Irish, Arkansas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Again, you know, I know that, like, nobody wants to feel bad, you know, for that, but.
So I hadn't paid much attention to Halliburton. But I would say maybe we should take a page out of what Kyrie is saying about Cat.
That's right.
We should apply that here to Halliburton on the voice chain.
No, I don't.
Halliburton's
make fun
a guy
of
that comes from white and black.
He does.
In sort of the same way that Kyrie is describing our man Cat.
Yes.
So there
and
could,
he could just
know,
have like a.
Might have hit on something.
He could
here.
Just have a voice thing, right? He
have
could
a,
just have like
just
a,
have a
his voice
thing,
cracks.
All of that. So.
Yeah.
You know how that goes, bro.
But yeah.
But I'm going over on his.
Well, I'm over the 17.5.
Yeah.
I'm going under on
but
the
we touched
and
on
a half.
Much more.
You're confusing
more
me now
things.
For my pick later.
Yeah, I'm going under. Jace is going over. That's fine. Black and white can come together.
Yeah, we made sure we were on the opposite side so we didn't confuse you.
I listened on this morning on the Unsportsmanlike show, and this is a tough one for me because,
good,
like, this
good.
Is the series.
It is the series.
This is it.
Because the team that wins game three goes this on to win the final.
Right. What percentage?
Unless it's the Nuggets against the Thunder in the semis. Because they went up 2-1, did they not?
Yeah. I'm leaning Oklahoma.
Yes.
Nuggets went up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they went up 2-1, had the chance to go 3-1,
right.
Up fourth quarter.
All right.
Up fourth quarter.
I'm going to go back to Ryan Silverfield's program. Now we are a football school, gentlemen. We are no longer a basketball school. We support the basketball team. But on this over-under, we go to the percentage of revenue that Memphis, the University of Memphis, will allot for our football program. The number is 75%.
So this is all about that house settlement, right? This is all related to the house settlement that the judge signed over the weekend. This has long been anticipated. So nobody over at Memphis is taken off guard or, by surprise by this. You know, it's roster limits going up. It's revenue sharing going up. You can share up to $20.5 million right now between all sports of revenue. You can sign players to multi-year contracts. There's just a lot of stuff, right? And most schools, like when I talk to Goodman about it, like from people he talks to, the expectation is that the distribution will be, okay, you have 100% of a pie, 75% goes to football, 15% goes to basketball, the rest goes to everybody else, baseball, women's basketball. And again, there are going to be lawsuits about this, so, you know, that'll all get figured out. But that's the operating rule of thumb right now, 75-15. Doesn't mean that every school is going to do that, though. Doesn't mean that it may be very different. So when it comes to Memphis, I think it will be under 75%. I think they have to give more to basketball than 15%. Yeah. But I don't know that. I'm speculating. I'd love to hear from Ed Scott on this, because I think this is, you know, he's been very transparent. He's been very.
Well, I mean, if you're not, you may as well go straight to Penny and say, look, this is how it's going to be. Do you want to step down? Because the fan base is going to have national championship aspirations like they've had historically, and you're not going to be able to deliver that, because if we're only giving you, I mean, it won't even be 25% here.
Yeah,
if you're splitting
like,
up
if,
the rest of it for everybody else.
Let's say it's $10 million, you'd get $1.5 million.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
And the rest would have to be supplemented by NIL.
That's not competing in the way that you have historically. That's not. It's not even treating it the same. It's not. It's like Tommy West in the speech about putting more into football. This is you now putting less in. You're going the other way and deciding you're doing that. So, yes, I would imagine Memphis has to be one of those schools that doesn't do it, with that formula. They obviously adjusted a little bit. Now, majority of it's still going to football. I'd argue that might be probably still pretty smart for Memphis to do based on, again, your ceiling in terms of earning levels on both sides. You own the building over on the football side. So we get all that, but nah, man, you can't go 75% with Memphis' athletic history here, forgetting that, you know, what basically your front porch, the face of your athletic department has been your men's basketball program its entire history.
Mm-hmm. We're talking
about. So, yes, of course, it wouldn't be the same here.
Mm. I'm going to say they
go lower.
Yeah, because, I mean, you still, let's say you give them, you know, I mean, it's still, let's say you give Memphis football, you know, 60%, 65%.
You're going to give that to them in addition to the $5 million, the majority of that money that they get from Fred Smith that goes to football? You're going to, on top of that, give 75%
right,
of the revenue?
Right.
Can't do that.
Right.
Can't do, because, again, they're already getting a boost there.
That's right. They're getting 60-70% of that $5 million a year.
Out of that $5 million a year for the next 4 years. Got four more years of that deal. It's not based on performance at all. That money's always going to be there for the next 4 years.
Exactly.
So you're already getting a bump there.
That's right.
You're going to continue to give them 75. That's just, that would be slap in the face to basketball, to your history, to Penny Hardaway, a man who is a big part of that history, obviously, not just as coach, but as a player.
Yep. Yeah.
So no way that number could be
with you.
Realistic for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like a very interesting moment right now for Memphis Athletics because, you know, you are going to have to make decisions like this, how you distribute it, and, you know, it's not necessarily where the checks are coming from, it's how big the checks are. For Memphis football, you know, they're going to get more than they've ever gotten. That's why we talk about the urgency with who's in charge of it. Whoever, whether it's Ryan Silverfield or whatever the name Brad used, right? It's like, are you maximizing what, you know, the resources that are being given? That's always the charge.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's what came back to bite Josh Pastner, because in the end, you were recruiting at too high a level. Even John, in terms of there is still at the end with what you were getting with the Lawsons and everything else, like it wasn't top three, top five classes like it had been, but you were still recruiting at too high a level to be performing the way you were down the stretch. You weren't making tournaments.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so it can come back, and you just heard, like we said, Bonner was raving yesterday about how well Memphis has recruited, how well it's done the portal. It comes back to haunt you if your best finish is going to be third over 5 years in terms of your conference. You're not even in a conference title game. At some point, people are going to expect you to turn that talent, turn all that investment into a winner.
You got to scheme it. You got to scheme it.
It's like John said, you're not maximizing that.
That's right.
I mean, you go look at the Memphis's year by year since Tommy West gave the speech.
Yep.
And you got the Porter, right? You got the Porter. But then look at Fuente. Look how it builds. And look at what it's gotten to. And yes, look at the last 2 years, and you can say, and it's written, Athlon did this, the two most successful back-to-back years in Memphis history came under Ryan Silverfield, 21 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. But look at how it's built up to that from the time that you started investing post-Tommy. Like, this has been, and Fuente and Norvell with less, right, because you were building up to it. Mm-hmm. They didn't have Fred Smith's $5 million. Yet here.
Yep.
They didn't help NIL. What are we talking about here? They didn't have that. They built it up. You're getting double digit wins. You're getting conference titles, right? Mm. At this point now, Ryan's got more than any coach at Memphis has ever had.
Yep.
Facts.
And we don't have the conference titles or even an appearance over 5 years to go with it. And so that's where you're saying we're not maximizing everything that we have. Yeah, 21 wins is good, but not having a conference title is not getting everything that we should be. And
yep.
So that's why he has to be held to that standard.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
It's a different day.
To Memphis basketball here, back in April, not only did earlier we add Daniel Vieira Tuck, but we added from Ontario, Canada, by way of Eastern Florida State College in Florida, the JUCO man himself, Felipe Patino, was added to the Tigers roster, and we go to our over-under piece here. Moments of silence for Felipe Patino's Memphis career, 0.5.
I'm going to take the under on it. I'm going to take the under because we still have Jesus. We always have Jesus Patino.
Forgot about Jesus Patino.
No relation,
no
I don't
relation.
Believe.
I thought about him.
But we lose one Patino in Memphis, we still have other Patinos in Memphis. So I will refrain from a moment of silence. This guy was here for basically a Raising Cane's gift card. So
They're pretty good.
He wasn't going to play, and he knew that, right? Like he I don't know why he ever came here in the first place. Like,
probably one of the earliest guards. He was. Of the 30 that they then signed.
He committed in 2010.
Yeah,
kind of. I don't know why ultimately, and again, maybe it was a deal where Penny was like, he didn't have the heart to tell him not to come. You know, he has to let him see it sometimes. He's seen it. He's going somewhere else. I don't expect him to pop up on the Division I level.
So the shooting, we're not worried about losing the shooting.
Well, it wasn't coming from him.
Okay.
He shot 47% there at Eastern Florida.
It's 69 of 145. Is that not real?
I mean,
That's some of that. Who was my guy that shot 40 at JUCO?
It was Jonathan Pierre. Christian Kessie. He was at the D2 stop.
Forgot about Christian Kessie.
That number equates to 22%.
Exactly.
Facts.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
There's always like a very dramatic drop.
Do you think these guys play a guy in summer and they go, oh boy?
No, it's not that. It's that they just know they're not going to play.
It's all them guards.
Yeah. It's like,
Tuck, you probably will play, right?
It's very simple. It's like, okay, what are these guys getting in NIL? And what am I getting in NIL?
Zero. Well, you get a scholarship plus you get food and dorm.
But I'm not talking, it's about gauging what your opportunity is.
I got you.
Right? It's like, I'm not playing above or anywhere close to a $1 million, $2 million player. I'm not playing ahead of Zach Davis. I'm not playing ahead of Curtis Gibbons. I'm not playing ahead of Sincere Parker. I'm not playing ahead of, Ashton Hardaway. I'm not playing ahead of any of these dudes.
Yep.
Because you can't, even if you were.
You can't.
And you can't.
I mean, and he was never going to.
Yeah.
So I don't know why all of this time was wasted. But whatever, life goes on.
And I imagine things like this are happening all over.
Oh, certainly.
Especially in places where you're replacing 11 to 13 guys
year. That's right.
That you're having these types of. You know, early signings, and then you're releasing them a bunch now because of this free agency stuff.
I'd love to ride the bench though for a Memphis. I mean,
but as a competitor though, you don't think like that.
I know.
You know,
that's why I'm not a player.
I got to go somewhere and play. I got to, even if it's a lower level, at least give me a chance to play professionally somewhere. You know.
Yeah.
Like
it's interesting though, because you could be set for life if you did it for 4 or 5 years.
Think about it though.
Trey Draper.
It's a $250,000 scholarship, essentially, probably, with room, dorm, and food. I'm in this now because we're going to be paying for college. And then you look at these costs. Like,
The man that John called the voice of the Tigers voice of basketball.
The voice of Memphis, Trey Draper.
He parlayed that into the voice of Memphis.
He was a radio host on this show, on this station, right? I believe he was
guest hosted, maybe.
He guest hosted.
I think he guest hosted
Okay,
for us.
Guest hosted, yep. I mean... There's really nothing that Trey hasn't done, and that's only because he played at Memphis.
He's been training. He trained Ja, didn't he? Didn't when he like working in his camp?
I don't know if we would.
He's on the Ja T. Morant.
I don't know if
training staff
was a trainer. Was he a Ja trainer?
I think.
I know he was on the.
He was traveling with him. I talked to him a couple of years ago, and he was traveling with him.
Read Drew's piece. I believe he's part.
I'll read it, man.
All over it.
I'll read it.
Yeah. And I think he is part of the training staff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. You're right. There are benefits. Just by being in certain places, if you become, part of the thing, a part of the deal,
The dude, I went to that touchdown club who went to Auburn, Cole Kublik. Like, Cole was a lineman at
Auburn.
Now,
yesterday you were trashing him.
I'm going to back him up on this point. He made this point, and it's true. If you play at a Memphis basketball or if you play at Auburn football, like, you can parlay that into something, like, for your life.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I mean.
You can.
There. I mean, you got to do it in Auburn, but,
If
I was going to do that, if I was going to go somewhere, all right, I'm going to parlay this into legendary status.
Or something.
I would go to Rutgers.
Ew, the Scarlet Knight.
Piscataway, New Jersey. Oof. I will become immortal in Piscataway, New Jersey, Jason. You want to come up there? I got you. Anything you need in Piscataway, man. All right?
Yeah.
We're part of the Big
Appreciate
Ten.
That.
We're part of the Big Ten. That's where I would go. A lot of people say L.A., No. Gainesville, Florida, Orlando, no. I'm going to New Jersey, all right?
Yikes.
All right, we'll come back. Bobby Marks is going to join us. He went to Marist. Marist. Where's that? Is that Jersey? No, that's not Jersey.
Where's Marist?
Marist is in New York.
New York, yeah.
It's not Jersey. Definitely not Jersey.
Marist College.
Poughkeepsie?
Yeah, that sounds right.
He went to Marist. So we'll talk to him about Jaren Jackson Jr.'s contract. We'll get his thoughts on the NBA Finals, the Grizzlies. Lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.5.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
But first, Bobby, the Grizzlies here locally, it feels like, are entering a pivotal summer. And a lot of that is going to depend on, you know, what happens with Jaren Jackson Jr., what he agrees to, what he doesn't agree to. What do you think would be the preferred outcome for the Grizzlies as it relates to Jaren Jackson Jr.?
Well, I mean, I think certainly you would want to get him locked up to a contract just based on, you know, what free agency could look like next offseason. It's a lot better as far as a market from this year. I think we're going to look at probably nearly half the teams will have cap space next offseason compared to maybe one or two this offseason. So I do think that's the goal. You know, now how do you go about doing it? It's likely not going to be just in a pure extension, which he's eligible for 4 for $146, I think. You know, you certainly have the flexibility when you traded Marcus to renegotiate Jaren's current contract and then extend off that. And I think that would be the most logical option that's going to happen this offseason with if the goal is to bring him back on a long-term deal.
I figure that is the front office's goal, right with you. And that's probably the plan and maybe what you get. Understand, too, Bobby, from reading Chris Harrington, it's going to limit your flexibility. Right, if you can get this done, it's going to limit your flexibility right now in terms of the offseason. You look up, and Zach Edey is going to be out for 4 months. Yeah. You know, Brandon Clark's coming back from an extension. I wonder, you know, is it the time, you know, and set aside what Jaren wants right now, because I've got a separate question about that. But, you know, yes, Jaren Jackson looks good in a Grizzlies uniform. He's part of the big three and everything else. But is losing flexibility at this point right now, Bobby, necessarily a good thing?
Well, I think it's a lot different than what Sacramento went through with Domantas Sabonis a few years ago. Flexibility in Memphis is $7 million in cap space. That's not a whole ton, and that's not going to get you another one or two players there. It gives you the flexibility to lock up one of your better players, and it gives you the flexibility also if you want to bring back Santi Aldama on a contract and not, you know, enter either of the aprons. And also use your, you know, you'd have your smaller exception, which is the room exception at 8.8. So, like, I would understand if it's, you know, listen, you've got $20 million in cap space and 15's got to go to Jaren and you've got to go from there. I think that's one thing. I think when you have such a small sliver and maybe you can create a little bit more, I'm not really worried about that flexibility. I think the Sabonis situation in Sacramento was a lot different just because they had to, they had to use like $12-13 million and they probably could have went out and you know, sign some players and maybe waited a year before they can lock them up to a new deal.
And then on Jaren's side, if you're in his camp, Bobby, you're his agent, you know, the chances you take another swing at all NBA next year based on what you saw. And at one point, you know, when Wimby goes down, he's the favorite for defensive player of the year. Now that dropped off and maybe he never gets to that point again. But point being, you know, do you say, you know what, we'll take another swing next year, realizing it's going into a contract year and everything that entails. But you know, the idea, you don't dismiss that if you're his agent, right? Do you push it with Jaren and say, let's go for it?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's going to be the player's decision. I mean, I think, you know, certainly as we see when we go through rookie extensions and even veteran extensions, I think the lure of guaranteed money is pretty hard to turn down, whether it's 180 or 190 or maybe even more for the swing to earn All-NBA, because if you're all earn All-NBA or Defensive Player of the Year, there's no guarantee that the team's going to give you a $345 million contract. True. I think that it would have been really interesting if he had earned it, what Memphis' approach would have been, because you're basically paying him the biggest contract in NBA history.
Yep.
You know, for a player that's only met it, you know, a few times and everything like that. So I do think, listen, I think the as I said, it's hard when you turn down guaranteed money to risk playing out a year, and then, you know, certainly got to say the health perspective and everything is important.
There was a tweet I saw last night, Bobby, and I'm curious to get your perspective as a front office guy. The point of the tweet was the worst place to be in as an NBA franchise is to have a top 14 to 20 player. in that range, because the logic is they command Supermax extensions without providing Supermax value, and they cripple your roster construction. Is there any logic to that just in this new CBA? I mean, I'd love to have – I think, you know, Jaren's probably in that range. It's nice to have a top 14 to 20 player. I think most teams would prefer to have it, but can it cripple you?
Well, I mean, you can if you want to debunk that, you just look at what Indiana's been able to do. I mean, I don't think Siakam's a top 15 player, and he's on a max contract, and he's probably in that 15 to 20 range. You know, Haliburton is certainly probably has elevated himself into that top 10 discussion. And both those guys, I think it's important. The depth is the most important thing if you're going to have two players making, you know, north of $40 million and what you do in the draft. That's the key here. I think that's the key as where we, you know, where we see Oklahoma City going in the future. I think where Indiana's going to go this offseason. Now you could add those two $40 million guys, but if you have the rest of your roster making less than 23, 24, then there's ways to work around it here. I look at it that way. I think it's the next contract, which is that 35% of the cap when you're paying a guy $55, $60 million. Like what New York has with, you know, Carl Anthony Towns, like that's, you know, when you're not a top 10 player and you're paying a guy $54 million, that is a huge number to try to work around.
Yeah, it is. And then just sort of aerially, when you zoom out about the Grizz, I think if we'd have had you on the show in, you know, June 2022, we would have been raving about it, all of us. We'd have been saying, man, the future is just unbelievably bright for this team. And fast forward, and it's definitely not been what I think we would have predicted back then. But what do you make of just the entire enterprise in Memphis? Should fans feel good about the future? Like, what do you make of it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I remember, I think it was like 3 years ago when we did our future power rankings, they were number one when we looked at what the next 3 years were going to be, you know, look like. And certainly a lot has happened, and certainly everything with Ja, and then you've taken to the injury part of it. And it's almost like a marathon runner who got out and was leading after 9 miles, and then basically the rest of the pack caught up to him based on different circumstances here. So, listen, we could talk about a lot of teams. The health of Ja is paramount.
So
like that is the most important thing as far as what the ability to stay healthy will play a big role in what he does, what the guys in Philly do, and everything like that. I think the most interesting thing for me is, you know, certainly besides Jaren, is Memphis willing to extend Ja this summer? You know, he's got 3 more years left, and they can add 2 more. And I'd be awfully cautious as far as going taking that approach there.
Well, he's got to, and in some way, Bobby, as a front office, you've got to be a part of this, right? I mean, and it started last year, but it seemed to be just more talk than anything else. Ja was saying, I'm not going to dunk anymore. Because key being, when I go up, man, I, you know, whether it was the Lakers in the regular season or the collision with Dort in the playoffs, when he goes up, it means he's out. I mean, typically it's meant he's out. And so developing in a mid-range game, you know, not trying to dunk on necessarily everybody, and especially in the playoffs, has got to be key to it. So where does the front office come in at the, you know, in terms of that? And you can't hold his hand and say, please, at some point it's got to be Ja. You got to, not just for us, but for your career, baby.
Well, it's almost kind of watching what, you know, Shea has been able to do in Oklahoma City. Is certainly, you know, he has, you know, there is the ability to get to the rim, which he certainly can do, but his mid-range game is as good as any NBA player.
Yes.
I mean, like the ability, like, you know, it's not always about getting dunks and everything and taking a physical toll on his body. And I think what he's been able to do is kind of transform his game into that. I think that's certainly an added dimension for what Ja's going to need to do. Certainly, if he's going to want longevity in this league, and you don't want to be paying, you know, $50 million plus to a guy that only plays 50 games a year, or, you know, you can't rely him on the playoffs. So, yeah, I do think his game is going to have to transform for the Memphis to be successful.
Talking to Bobby Marks, front office insider for ESPN, joining us here on the day of Game 3 in the NBA Finals. You know, it feels like in this Finals, Bobby, you have two teams that, you know, as great as their players are, it just feels like a masterclass in executive work. For both of the, it's like, you know, forget the talent, which is one thing. Like, we can all aspire to have great players, but it's just, It's almost like, you know, if you're Zach Kline, you're like, I got to get to that level. I got to get to where I'm acquiring, you know, Obi Toppin in a salary dump. I got to get to, you know, and he's been the executive of the year. But I, that's just sort of how I, like, this is what it looks like when you have brilliant front office work, this NBA Finals.
Yeah, you know, listen, nobody's going to be able to duplicate what Oklahoma City has done. And if you're going to do it, you're going to spend a lot of years trying to spin the wheels and everything like that. You know, certainly where they picked Jalen Williams, you know, outside of, you know, the top 10, and then Cason Wallace, and certainly the Shea trade with Paul George, and to be able to accumulate all these draft picks, and there's still more coming, and basically a team that's built to, I guess, defeat the second apron moving forward. They're in an island by themselves. So Indiana is interesting because, you know, Indiana's never taken an approach to really bottom out. You know, when they, you know, they basically traded, you know, Halliburton and, you know, traded away Sabonis and then certainly Siakam. And they basically have built this kind of organically here. And then, listen, Andrew Nembhard, second round pick, TJ McConnell, unrestricted free agent. As you mentioned, Toppin in a salary dump, Nesmith in a trade to send Malcolm Brogdon to Boston. So it's really like those fringe moves, and it's the same like we make this big deal about when guys sign contracts and we declare winners every offseason, but the Alex Caruso trade to Oklahoma City was probably the biggest transaction last offseason, and that was done in mid-June. So it isn't always about, you know, swinging for home runs and stuff. It's kind of these singles and doubles, and when you do it, you see the fruits of it in the finals like Indiana has.
Okay, Bobby, what's going on with New York? I mean, is this – I had a hard time believing that this is going well when I'm reading Shams say, okay, well, as expected, Dallas said, no, you can't interview Jason Kidd. They've been turned down by Minnesota and Houston in terms of their sitting head coaches and getting permission to interview them. Yeah, you know, you fire Tibbs, you'd hope there was a plan there. What do you think about how this is going?
I would be stunned if New York had the thinking that one of these guys were going to be available.
Right.
Yeah, like I think there's a plan in New York as far as what direction they want to go. Of course, option one would have been trying to get one of these coaches, these established coaches, out of their contracts, which is really hard to do. I think now it's...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.